Well, thank you so much, praise team, for leading us this morning, and so great to hear from the Bell Choir. Also, thank you, John Wolf, for being here. Judy has been sick, and so John's been our excellent liturgist, and he actually reminded me of something, and now I've forgotten what you reminded me of. Yes, that's it. Gosh, I don't know what that means. I really don't know what that means. We have new to Birmingham following this worship service. If you're new to the church and want to explore it a little bit more and kind of hear about our history and our beliefs, it'll be just across the way following the worship service a few minutes after that. We hope you'll join us. Okay. So today we are beginning a new sermon series. And to kick off that series, I thought it might be fun to ask you three questions. And so this is going to require some crowd participation, and hopefully you have someone next to you. If you don't, pretend that you do, okay? Pretend that you do. And so I want you to do a couple things. I want you to answer the questions for me, and as I'm asking them, I want you to think about what do these questions share in common, okay? What do they hold in common? Okay, first question, here it is. If you were to sum up the internet in one word, what would it be? Okay, so look at your neighbor right now and give them your one word. If you were to sum up the internet, do that right now. Look at your neighbor. Tell them what that is. Act interested. That's right. Okay, now neighbor, back at them. You tell them what your one word would be for the internet. Okay, so my word is incredible. I think the internet's incredible. Okay, question number two. Are you ready? See, you're not ready. Question number two. Are you ready? Yes, good, that's better. If you could eat at the same restaurant anytime you wanted at no cost, which restaurant would that be? Okay, so say to your neighbor, which restaurant you would eat at, what would it be? Anytime, no cost to you. Okay, neighbor, back at him, tell him your restaurant. Somebody talk to Hunter, he's got a restaurant. Bruce Bear, talk to Hunter, he's got one. I know he does. Okay, so my restaurant, in case you were wondering, it would be Florentine's at the North End in Boston, the Italian district of Boston. It rocks. That's where it would be. Okay, final question. Are you ready for the final question? Yes, you are. You're alive. If you could go on a cross-country trip with anyone, dead or alive, who would that be? All right, so reach out to your neighbor. Tell them. Come on. Who would it be? Anybody in history, trip across the country. All right. Who would it be? Okay, that's pretty good. Y'all are doing well. Do you want to know who mine would be? Do you want to know? Mine would be Laurie, my wife. See, I'm a smart guy. That's exactly who I would want to go, and I really would, on a cross-country trip. Okay, so let's kind of finish this thought. As you think about those questions about the internet and about your favorite restaurant and about people you admire, what would you say they share in common? Just think about that for a minute. What do these questions share in common? I think this is very hard. Like, I would have never guessed what I'm about to say, but here's what I would say. These questions share in common that they are all what you might call conversation starters, right? That's what they are. If you answer those questions, you automatically engage. You wonder why the person chose what they chose for a restaurant or a person. And so they are conversation starters. And interestingly, I found online there was a group, and you're going to love this. The group was called Mantelligence. How about that? That's pretty good. Mantelligence says that these are three of the top 144 best conversation starters out there. Now, I have no idea how Mantelligence came up with that figure of three out of 144 of the top best. I have no idea. But what I do know is I thought that would be a fun way to kick off our new sermon series, which I am calling, say it with me if you know, conversation starters. And the facts are, When you read the scriptures, when you study the Bible, there are hundreds of conversation starters where you kind of ask the question why and how and who was involved and how did this all take place? And you can have a conversation for an hour over just one verse. And so what this means for us, however, is that over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at some great Bible conversation starters that are questions that Jesus asks of his disciples and various people. Now, at the outset, I want to say that the goal of this sermon series is not only to generate conversation between you and your neighbor, just like the Mantelligence questions were intended to do, but also more than that, the goal of this series is that you would have a conversation with your Creator, that you would have a conversation with God, that there would be a conversation every day, starting now until the end of the series, that you're having with our Lord. That's really what I want. Because what we're here to do every Sunday is to share and to strengthen your faith and to help you draw closer to God and become more intimate in that relationship with God. And so I want to give you some conversation starters that I hope will start a meaningful conversation between you and God. And so let me just give you kind of a heads up on where this is going. So today, the first conversation starts for those of you who may be in the middle of some trial of life. Maybe you're in the middle of what we would call a storm. And so we're going to think about this from the perspective of an encounter Jesus and the disciples had in a storm when Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid?" I mean, I have an answer for that. I know why I'm afraid of storms, but Jesus asked that question. It was a conversation starter. Then next week, we're going to talk with those of you who may need a miracle. You need a touch of God. You need the power of God to move in your life in a remarkable way. And Jesus is going to start that conversation with this question: do you believe I can do this? And finally, the third week is for those of you who may be struggling with some ongoing challenge in your life, some issue or bad habit, or just something that really won't go away and it really just kind of dogs you out. And Jesus encounters a man like that and he asks him a very obvious question. And when you hear that, well, of course. But if you dig a little deeper, you're going to find that this question is a conversation starter. It's when Jesus asks a man, "Do you want to get well?" So that's kind of where we're going to be headed in this series over the next 3 weeks. But let me begin with this question that Jesus posed to his disciples when they were in the midst of a storm. And that question is, why are you so afraid? And so the context of this story is from Mark chapter 4. And we read in verse 35 these words: "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let's go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped." And I don't know about you, but has anybody here ever been in a boat when it started to sink? Have you ever been in a boat? John Wolfe's been in that boat. And I was thinking maybe it was Titanic, but he said it wasn't. It was not the Titanic, definitely not. But he was in a boat when it sank. I've never been in a boat when it started to sink, but I'm sure that if I was in that kind of boat, that I would be very, very upset and concerned and just kind of freaking out about that boat. I do remember one time that I was in an airplane when I legitimately thought that the airplane might be coming down. It was Lori and I's first trip to New York City, and we were just over Manhattan, and all of a sudden there was this incredible turbulence. And I'm telling you, like, that plane was like jumping around in the air and side by side, and it was just so frightening. And it's like everybody was kind of in denial, like, oh, that just happens periodically. But then it just kept on and it kept on. And you could just feel the tension building in the airplane. And the lady next to me, who I didn't know and hadn't even talked to for some reason on that trip, she grabbed my hand and she said, start praying. She did. And I think we all kind of felt that way, like this could be it, you know? And that's just kind of how the storms of life hit us, right? They just seem to come out of nowhere, and they hit us between the eyes. And I think this is what was happening with the disciples. They were like, oh my gosh, is this it? Is this the end? Are we going to see the other side of the sea? And I think that's what the storms of life did to them, and I think that's what they do to us. But we come to verse 38, and the disciples cry out to Jesus. They're like, teacher, you know, why don't you care if we drown? Do you care about us at all? And the scriptures say that Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. And the wind died down and it became very calm. And he looked at the disciples and he posed this question, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And it was kind of like he was saying, hey, you've seen me do some pretty incredible things in your lives. You've seen me do some pretty incredible miracles. Surely you know by now that you are not out of my reach, that I love you, that I hold you in my hand, that I hold you in my heart. And you know what I want you to notice about this is at the beginning of this passage, the disciples are like, don't you care if we drown? I mean, they're completely without any sense of faith or hope. And then at the end of the story, the conversation is changed completely. And they're like, wow, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? And so Jesus changed the conversation. That's just a powerful moment in that passage. And suddenly, it's like their faith is beginning to grow. Who is this? This is what they were saying. Could he be the long-awaited Messiah? Could he actually be the one that we've dreamed about? Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? And you know, it's really interesting because the Sea of Galilee, geographically speaking, is almost designed perfectly for these kinds of storms to just come out of nowhere. I think it's 750 feet below ground level. I think that it's surrounded by all of these mountains. And so if you talk to experts, it's kind of the perfect place for a storm to kind of brew and come out of nowhere. And you may not know this, but I grew up in the great state of Iowa. You probably don't know that, but that's where I grew up. And what you need to know is that Iowa is really hot in the summer and really, really cold in the winter. And because of the massive humidity that we experience, and especially the late summer, it's not unusual for these thunderstorms to just pop up out of nowhere, and you can just see them, because it's very flat in Iowa, you can see them just rolling in over you, and it's quite ominous and pretty incredible. And because of the potential for tornadoes, how many of y'all have ever been in a tornado or heard a tornado? They are unbelievable. They are like awesome and intriguing and scary at the same time, right? But tornadoes can pop up very easily. So 2 to 3 times a year, when I was a kid growing up in Newton, Iowa, we would have tornado drills across the whole city. And these sirens that had been posted at different places around the city would sound off, and you would know that was a tornado drill. So if you were in school, you know, you would take cover. We would go under our chairs. I can't even remember what we did, but we learned how to take cover in case there was a tornado, and it could be very, very dangerous. And in 1974, the sirens went off, and it became very clear this was not a drill. This was the real thing. And we lived kind of out in the country. And so we could kind of look across the city of Newton. And as you looked across the city of Newton, on the other side, outside sort of the city, you could just see these turbulent, dark clouds. And we heard very quickly that a tornado had dropped down and was going right through the middle of a school called Berg Junior High. And it destroyed it completely, just laid it flat. Thankfully, not a single soul was in that school. But here's what the amazing factoid is about that. 45 minutes before that tornado dropped out of the sky and destroyed that school, it was a clear blue sky. I'm not kidding you. I was out playing frisbee, 45 minutes before those sirens sounded off. And here's why I tell you that story. I tell you because that is a parable of our lives. So often I encounter people in the church or out there in the world, and things are going so well for them. Everything is moving along wonderfully well when out of nowhere, it's like a tornado just drops out of their sky onto them. Maybe, it's the guy who's doing well vocationally and really rising in his organization, and things are going along so great until one day you come to work, and I just think this is terrible when I hear things like this, that suddenly your company's been sold to another company, and you're like, oh my gosh, and the writing's on the wall called layoffs, and 2 weeks later, you're gone from that job. That business world thing, I just don't understand that, how that can happen. 2 weeks later, you're in a storm. Or maybe you have invested in your children more than anybody else. You have prayed for them. You have made sure they had everything they needed. You sent them to the schools that worked best for them. You made sure that their classes were great. You got them in all the church activities that were important for them to be in. And you're just hopeful, you're prayerful, and everything's going along, and your kids are shining until one day you get a phone call from the officer at the school, and he says, listen, we're all shocked about this, but your son was caught with an illegal substance. And man, that hits you like a ton of bricks. And all of a sudden, you are in a storm. And one thing that I find interesting about all of this, and I'm not sure how to even break through this, but I find that when people in the church are experiencing a storm in their life, when things are really coming apart, when things are really unsettled, for some reason, there's been an environment in the church that's not the place to bring it. That when we go to church, we don't want anybody to know our storm. We don't want anybody to see us struggling in the midst of our storm. And so we just put on a smile. And when somebody asks you a question, how are you doing? It goes right through you. Well, do you really want to know how I'm doing? I'm doing great. And we don't want the church to be a part of our storm. And I know there's valid reasons for that. I know people have shared their challenges with other people or with the church, and they've been burned by it. I get that. But I'm praying that we could be a place where people can walk in here in a storm or not in a storm. And so today I kind of want to ask, as gently as I can and as privately as I can, I'm wondering if there's anybody here, and I'm not asking to raise hands or participate. I'm just acknowledging and wondering if there's somebody here that's in a storm. I'm wondering if it's a big storm or a small storm. Maybe it's your storm. It's a family storm. It could be at school. But I'm wondering because 9 times out of 10, when people are out there in the congregation, there is at least a percentage who come in the door in a storm, feeling swamped with fear. And so what I want to do today is I want to have a conversation from that story in Mark chapter 4 that will hopefully illuminate a couple of things that you can take with you and remember when you are in the storm. Because I know in my own life, I mean, my parents were separated when I was in high school. I was nearly killed in a car accident in 1985. I mean, that's just two things in my long life that I could mention so many storms. And here's one of the things I've learned. When you are in one of the storms of life, here's what I want you to remember. I want you to remember that you are in the storm with God. So remember that. You're not alone in the storm. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And secondly, that God is in the storm for you. So let's review that. Remember, when you're in one of life's storms, remember this. You are in the storm with God, and God is in the storm for you. Okay? So you are in the storm with God. This is the great promise of the gospel story, that God is with us. He's incarnate. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, but it's really meant to be for the whole experience, that God's presence is with us. When you are in one of life's storms, you are in the storm with God. Now, I know that some people actually struggle with this reality because we've cultivated this belief somehow, it came from somewhere, that when we are walking a life of faithfulness to God, that when we are, you know, giving our heart to Christ, and certainly when Jesus is in the boat with us, like he is in this story, that there should be no storms, right? That there are no storms in our lives when we are faithful to God, when we are walking through faith, when we come to church, we do all the right stuff, we read the Bible, we send our kids to vacation Bible school and Sunday school, and we go to Sunday school, when we're doing all of that, we kind of have this belief that nothing should go wrong. But I'm telling you, that is the farthest thing from the truth. That just is not reality. And Jesus even acknowledged this in the Gospel of John. He said this. He said, in this world, you will have blessedness. Is that what he said? No. Somebody say, no, he didn't say that. Say it to your neighbor. He did not say that. What did he say? He said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have, say it with me, trouble. It's true. I mean, I wish it wasn't true. I oppose it. Like, I wish that wasn't the case. But in this world, you'll have trouble. There will be storms. There will be challenges that we have to face. But here's what Jesus says. I'm with you. Be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. And that's the hope that we have. That even when we're in the storm, that God is with us. And God is for us. I was reading some research recently on longevity. I mean, I'm 54, so I'm thinking about it. On longevity and what people who are older do to lengthen their lives. And they do all the normal stuff. They do food, eat the right food, right? They exercise, they get the right amount of rest, they have a sense of purpose in my life, and there was a whole list of other things that you could probably tell me yourself that you do to lengthen life and to make it richer. One of the things I found really interesting is it said that people live longer, this researcher is claiming, if they have something else living in their house. And so that can be a spouse, right? That can also be a plant, a green plant. They're claiming it could be a dog. It could be one of your puppies. It could be a ferret. It could be a parakeet. I once had a parishioner. She had a parakeet. And every time I went to visit her, this is so amazing. She'd let the parakeet out and it would come and land on her head. That's what it did. But it kept her moving. And it just kind of makes some sense to me that if you have something living in your house, that you are gonna be more alive and more alert and more responsive to the movement of God in that house. And here's the deal. It's not, like I say, when, or it's not if you're gonna have a storm, it's when you're gonna have a storm. A storm is gonna happen probably sometime to all of us, and it's gonna be rough, and it's gonna throw you under the bus, and it's gonna be really hard, but you're gonna get through it, and people are gonna look at you, and they're gonna go, wow, How are they getting through this storm? How are they doing that? This is incredible to watch happen. How are you doing it? And you know, at first you're like, I'm no different than anybody else. I'm just as scared. I'm just as uncertain. I'm just as frightened of the storms of life of anybody else. But here's what I know. I know there's somebody alive who's living in my house. I know there is a presence of God who is seeing me through this very difficult moment in my life. I understand what the psalmist was saying in Psalm 46 when he said, God is my refuge, he is my strength, he is my ever-present help in times of trouble. I understand what the psalmist was saying in Psalm 34 when he said, this poor man called, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him out of all of his trials. I understand what the psalmist was saying in Psalm 23 when he said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When you're in one of the storms of life, you're in the storm with God, and God is in the storm for you. And I think what Jesus was trying to do here was offer a word of assurance and comfort. I mean, the disciples were like, don't you care? And Jesus is like, whoa, I care. I care deeply, I care. And I think we all need assurance. We all need that moment where God breaks through our reality and we go, wow, who is he? Even the wind and the waves obey him. I love a story by Robert Louis Stevenson. He tells the story of a ship that is in the midst of a mighty storm. And it's kind of off this rocky coast. And there's a real danger that the ship will be blown into the rocky coast. Well, in the belly of the ship, all of these passengers and crewmen have gathered. And you can imagine the conversations they're having. They're filled with fear. They're filled with doubt. They're wondering what's going to happen. Are they going to survive this storm? And one of the crewmen, sort of against all the rules, decides to go up to the area where the captain is steering the ship. And when he gets to that area, the captain turns for a moment and observes the man watching him, and he smiles. I love that. The captain smiles, and he mouths, "All is well." And without a moment's notice, that crewman goes back down to that belly of the ship and he says, I've come to bring you good news. I saw the captain and he smiled and he said, all is well. Wow. I think that's what Jesus did when the disciples said, wow, who is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we all walk through different storms of life. I would pray today, Lord, that if anyone here is in one of those storms, that they would see your smiling face, that they would hear those reassuring words, that all is well and will be well, because in this life we have storms. And when we are in those storms, we know that you are with us and you are for us. It's in the name of Jesus we do pray. Amen.